Okay, moving on. Kaylee Carr, welcome. Were you very proud of Ed there? Because, of course, you know, we very nearly signed up for a postgraduate course with Ed Wellman at one stage. Did you not, Kaylee Carr?
I was very impressed with that. I didn't expect that.
Nobody expects Ed Wellman reading the news at 8 o'clock in the morning. Unless, of course, you've listened to the Geoff Thompson and Ian Mills breakfast shows. But never mind. There we are. Just a whole new bonus things. So, what's life like in the joys of Sunderland?
Oh, it's not too bad at the moment. I'm currently just stuck in Burger King working at the moment, though, full time.
Other chains of burger devices are available. Besides, you may well be doing deep cover. We can't say anything at this stage. Let's turn to two young souls who are actually sort of stepping into that whole brave new world. In fact, they're relatively recent recruits to the Midweek Drive. That's, of course, Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward. Emma, any questions for Kaylee about the kind of degree she did? Clue, it was journalism.
Yeah, I mean, good choice, first of all. I'm doing the same one. So, did you enjoy your third year? I'm just asking, because I'm a second year now, and got a lot of work to do at the moment, but I'm thinking third year might be even more intense.
I'll be honest, like, the 3 years was probably the best I've ever done. It was like an unreal experience. Third year was like really different in the way that you attend uni, because I was hardly there, to be honest. It's a lot of like your own based work rather than
technical
phrases and all that.
Independent learning, actually, as opposed to suggesting you're some sort of skiver who just didn't turn up, really.
No, it was a bit strange, like, not attending as many lectures as you used to in first and second year. Obviously, there's a lot, for myself, there was a lot of group work involved where we did our own website, which was really enjoyable. So, yeah, it's like, it's not much of a change, but it is really enjoyable, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And of course, Kaylee, you did a placement with our sister station, Siren Sister Station up there, of course, so which is Southside Broadcasting. And it's fair to say, she also runs a regular blog.
I do, yeah.
Will you be blogging about this particular little exciting thing when you can actually say you get to speak to Emma and Jessica on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Oh, we'll do, yeah. It's been a while since I've been able to talk to you.
It's all right. You know, we have to have certain sort of standards to keep people from Sunderland separate from the rest of Europe, of the country. It's a kind of cordon that we need to talk about routine. It's a health and safety issue, Kaylee, as you know. It's Jessica, questions for yourself.
Yes. Do you have any advice for first year students in journalism?
Specifically, first years heading into week four now, actually.
Yes,
we're ending week three.
Wow.
Time is going by very fast.
First year, honestly, just like stick at it, enjoy it, and just get all your work done on time, no stress or anything. Enjoy every moment of it, really.
All right, same moment. And that's the words of the Oracle of Sunderland, Kaylee Carr. Casey on the Siren 107.3 FM Breakfast Show. Still to come today, Richard Fitzwilliams will be joining us shortly to talk about a whole range of movie reviews and theatrical aspects. Of course, it's the launch of the London Film Festival, which is always very exciting. Should it be the British Film Festival? No, it's the London Film Festival. After all, it's not the French Film Festival. We call it the Cannes Film Festival, do we? But still. Ian Lennox will be joining us. Donna Hazelton, of course, actress, who actually, as we found out yesterday, from Rosemary is in the Eva Cassidy story, so great stuff there. And from Fractal Sparks, the world's first, I believe, multi-instrumentalist pioneer of the air piano. Say that again. The air piano.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's one to check the arpeggios and the sort of various other routines. That's all to come. Plus, of course, William said, well, he probably might have one or two things to say about the Bake Off result. But, Jessica, would you like to bowl those last two questions to Casey, the one and only, Kaylee Carr? Actually, Katie Grimerson will be joining us as well, back into the show, all be well. But it's over to you, Jessica.
Have you enjoyed the show today?
I have, yes, it's been great.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you.
That's Katie, actually. It's been great. She's only been on 10 minutes, but that's more than enough. So this time without feedback. Never like to talk over the lyrics. Over to you, Ed Wellman. How are you?
A very good morning.
In person, which is always great stuff. I actually went into another studio. It's fantastic. It's almost like doing one of those Radio 2 sort of things. Fantastic. Of course, you've had the opportunity, along with myself, the only people in the studio, because obviously we've got Jessica and Emma, to actually see the Adventures in Radio Broadcasting Midweek Drive Morning Edition calendar for 2015.
I forget which month it was from the National Film... No.
National Theatre. Richard Fitzwilliams is in the 2015 calendar.
In the sandwich bar.
Yes, you have finally become a calendar boy, Richard. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's good news. Yeah. It must be.
I think the nation can rejoice. And with the fears of the Ebola virus, terrorist attacks, and indeed Lincolnshire Bake Off entries, then the highlight is obviously that you're there. It'll only be a matter of time before Jessica and Emma will actually sort of be in the 2016 calendar, I'm thinking. You know, particularly after the response they gave to Phil Leonis yesterday. Somebody suggested it should be called the British Film Festival. Surely you don't call the Cannes Film Festival... the French Film Festival. It's got to be the London Film Festival, hasn't it?
Well, here you are. Movie industry supports 90,000 jobs in the capital, and it's very, very good news. I mean, also the films like Star Wars and Mission Impossible, which are being filmed here. I mean, the scale of British film talent, yes, of course, it's Britain-based in London. It's just been called that. It's the 58th BFI London Film Festival, but throughout the world, 250 films have been chosen, feature films, 148 short films. So, I mean, it is absolutely massive. And, of course, it began, albeit slightly rainy, but very glamorous do last night with the Imitation Game. I thought it a good idea to discuss these films a little closer to the dates when
it's
people can
always
see
critical.
In more
but did Benedict Cumberbatch and, of course, your ace, wonderful actress Keira Knightley, did they survive the inclement weather conditions? Were they
well,
okay?
I have here a photograph of Keira with what looks like an umbrella, I'm afraid. A decidedly unglamorous accessory, it says, but a dazzling Valentino gold dress, no doubt about that. But I would say that the Imitation Game, of course, it's about the remarkable work.
Bletchley Park.
Extraordinary breaking the code. I mean, I never knew how they did it.
Shortens the war by up to 5 years, we believe.
2 years, according to the film.
I was just trying to give a little bit more positivity for Alan Turing, actually, but
yes,
there we are.
I mean, it was extraordinary in saving some 30 or 40 million lives. I mean, that's the estimate. It's quite amazing. The problem was, once they'd done it, that the Germans never suspected it, and it had to be arranged. And this is, I mean, playing life and death. I mean, how do you let X die, but you save Y, and you look to when you plan provision where, in fact, the enemy will never guess that you have actually broken a secret. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, it is the main reason to see this film. As I say, let's discuss it in more detail when it is released, widely released. But it's a superlative performance by Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, he is so good, and it is a very moving and ultimately, of course, tragic story.
We are hopeful that we'll be having a little midweek drive trek to Bletchley Park, actually, in the near future, so that should be quite fun.
That would be most interesting, because, I mean, the work is historic, and I do think it's a very good film for everyone to see.
Exactly. And in addition to that, of course, a little plug for Louis Savvy, who has been sort of putting together the science fiction components to this year's London Film Festival as well, and a whole range of other bits and pieces.
Well, it's absolutely vast. I mean, the various, looking at the programme here, Love, Debate, Dare, Laugh, Thrill, Cult, Journey, Sonic and others. And, you know, I mean, under these various titles, the scale, I've already seen John Borman's second autobiographical film, Queen and Country, very touching and often absolutely hilarious film, mainly dealing with a period where he saw national service, the biggest waste of time, in his view, ever conceived, and yet also very poignant.
Yes, yes, but Richard, it was surely one of the origins of modern Britain, national service, wasn't it? You know, I mean, maybe Emma might have something to say about that, apropos of some research she might have been doing in terms of one of her topics at university. I don't know, Emma, national service, what do you think?
Yeah, national service is always like, I think it's a difficult time for anyone that age. I mean, if they did that now, I don't know,
Would you not like to be conscripted into the army and sort of do your bit? Actually, I'm sure it wasn't really for girls. Was that still service for girls? No, it was for boys.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's what obviously sort of made this country partially interesting.
But it is wonderful to have a film festival which really does, as of course the BAFTAs do, mean that the world's attention cinematically is, heaven knows there are other things, yes indeed, to focus on at the moment, but that we do have the enormity of our talent, from the directors to the technicians, from the actors.
On the National Service theme, I was going to say Richard for a moment, of course it's Ed Wellman. For a moment, you were materialising in front of my eyes there. Ed, you would be a National Service person? I mean, obviously not. Would you have been in favour of National Service? Have you done the...
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, you would.
I think so.
Oh, right.
Why would you have thought it a good idea? Because we never had a large standing army in Britain by tradition over the years, over the centuries, in fact.
Oh, yes, Ed. Why? Why would you be in favour of conscripting people in to actually do their square bashing and such like? I mean, we do it with siren enough already,
surely. This is just where I was going. I mean, this is a form of national service.
Exactly. Yeah.
Joining community radio.
Precisely. Yeah.
There was one thing that could be said, and that is a large amount of talent did undoubtedly flow from the combinations of, individuals who met each other in groups who went on or were able to do dramatic and theatrical productions and so on. This sort of thing, I mean, out of something that, quite honestly, wasn't even wanted by the army. Certainly some good came of it, but this was what, I mean, John Borman really is looking back, and it is extraordinary, and also I'd say the movie has a twist or two. Let's discuss it again in more detail.
Okay, you've done the teenage,
very,
the
very
teaser.
Good.
We've done the Imitation Game. We've done the John Borman number, which of course is entitled.
The John Borman number is entitled Queen and Country, follows Hope and Glory, and it begins with a clip from his earlier film, The Hope and Glory one, where absolutely hilarious when his school is bombed, and of course the boys are thrilled.
Yep. I'm not sure whether you'd actually want to necessarily actually go public. It's like, how hilarious, the school's just been bombed. But never mind. I know where you're coming from. And the movie, who would have thought he did Home and Glory back in the 1980s before actually Jessica or Emma were even born? Amazing. But there we are. Much like the Second World War. Okay, where do you want to go to now, Richard?
Well, we want to go to Gone Girl.
Grammar, please. Gone Girl. Gone Girl.
Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. Mock the title if you wish, but you wish you had shares in it too. It begins with a close-up of Rosamund Pike as Amy.
Well, that sounds okay.
Yes, it is. We learn she is married, and we also learn from her voiceover, not very happily. This is to Nick, played by Ben Affleck, a soaring talent, as well you know. Both play writers, both, it turns out, are out of a job. They live in Missouri, his home state, not where they used to live. New York was her playground, but her parents needed the money from her trust fund, and they had to move. The marriage is in difficulties. And what happens when there are problems in the marriage? Well, one of the partners can disappear. And since Missouri is a state where there is still the death penalty, what if you set it up so that the police believe that you've been murdered by your husband? I mean, the case becomes a national cause célèbre. There's tremendous pressure to find out what has happened to the gorgeous Amy, who's, Amy's parents, and they've written the amazing Amy books. They spearhead, and we've seen this in various tragic cases, they spearhead a tremendous campaign, and the husband, who becomes a loathed figure, is completely unable, from a PR point of view, to put the case. It turns out, also his sister, who he relies on, Margot, very good performance by Carrie Coon here, it turns out that he's been having an affair with one of his students. Things are getting worse and
Let's just hold it there. According to The New Yorker, a writer there, Anthony Lane, claims, and we're going to put this to the test at the show right now, approximately there are only 21 people, according to Anthony Lane, who haven't read Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl. All right, have you ever read Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl, Jessica?
No, I haven't.
No, okay. Ed?
Do you really need to ask? I don't think so.
You ever watch Lawrence of Arabia? No, it's a silly question, isn't it?
Ask me this time next year.
And Emma?
I watched the film last night, but no, I haven't read the book.
Well, so what did you make of the movie, then?
I thought it was really interesting, actually. I think it says quite a lot about the media in America, particularly with how they all sort of jumped on the bandwagon of accusing the husband. And I also thought the narrative of the film was quite interesting in that they... Amy's diary is sort of read out as a voiceover, and they sort of jump back and forth into the past bits of their relationship and then into the future when she was gone missing. So I thought it was quite interesting.
Got a thumbs up from Emma. So
as well as I would expect that to do. The narrative is fascinating.
It's almost a first, Richard, isn't it? Actually having somebody who's on a co-presentational team who's actually seen a movie that you're talking about. It's fantastic.
Well, you'll be seeing it next, believe me, because I mean the narrative aspect of it. I was so glad that he's mentioned this, because I mean what is interesting is you see it from her point of view and what she plans. No spoilers here. We see it from his point of view and how he is affected. I mean, they were in real marital problems. Now he's somehow got to, well, there's no body. That's the only problem the police have. But there is a national surge of opinion against him. What is he going to do? And what was she planning to do? And you learn so much in voiceover. And the David Fincher, absolutely superb director. I mean, The Social Network, Seven, Zodiac, a whole series of wonderful films. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, even. I mean, a very versatile director. But, I mean, he has also the screenplay written by the author, Gillian Lynn. And, well, it is a movie that is so gripping. It is thrilling. It's really very, very clever. And the way the plot develops, nobody, I suspect, who hasn't read, and I do think it's a shame sometimes to read the novel before you see the film, simply because you know what's coming. I didn't. I haven't. 21 people. I don't know where he's got that.
Ridiculous number. Absolutely. How could you actually statistically put that in? I mean, there are over sort of 7 billion people on the planet. How could you actually sort of literacy rates? They might just skim through it.
We were discussing it. You see, that's the idea. You say something nonsensical, and then, of course, it gets picked to bits, but equally, he gets mentioned. That's the plan. But here, it's her plan, how she intends to disappear, what she intends to do with herself. And I mean, this is revenge can be very, very sweet, but can also be very, very confusing when things might not go as you expect them to. And there are lawyers who can somehow assist even the worst of cases to get a better profile and so forth. This is a movie that's extremely entertaining, and whether you buy every single thing that happens, and I didn't find all of it totally convincing, I found most of it absolutely fascinating. And no wonder the box office figures have been soaring.
Well, that's David Fincher, obviously, doing his stuff there.
Yes, he does it very, very well. Also, some superb, we must mention, wonderful performance by Rosamund Pike. Ben Affleck, of course, is absolutely first class, but they've also cast the supporting role so well. And as I said, you see it from all points. I mean, the police, what is their point of view? How do they approach the investigation? And so on. Of course, they need a culprit because of this tremendous pressure. And you also look at the way the recession and the effect that has on various marriages and so forth. And we see a really riveting movie.
And produced, of course, by Reese Witherspoon. Nice to see she's actually sort of spreading out her sort of skills, etc.
Well, she is in the London Film Festival. She will be appearing with Wilde.
Yeah, not Legally Blonde at all. Well, that's one and two. Richard, because you have eulogised so much over Gone Girl and obviously the London Film Festival, it means that the two theatrical scenarios we were going to briefly mention, of course, Theatre Royal Haymarket, that would be Great Britain,
of
course.
Let us not rush. Let us leave till next week.
Yes,
because... Richard Bean is a playwright whose work deserves to be given a good deal of weight.
Exactly.
But may I Do we have time to discuss 71, another film?
If you can fit it in 30 seconds, yes.
No. Well, let us. This is a movie worthy of a little more discussion.
Well, I think that's what we will duly make that editorial decision, because we've got the news coming up in a few seconds after Casey Musgraves. But Emma, because you have obviously seen Gone Girl and again echo the lines that were said there, would you like to ask those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams, please?
Of course. Richard, have you enjoyed your time on the show today?
Yes, indeed, and I'm delighted that you enjoyed Gone Girl.
Me too.
it's a waste of a ticket, really, isn't it? Yeah, it wasn't on the press pass, I think, so you've got to work through that.
Will you be joining us on the show anytime soon?
Only if Alex has seen Gone Girl himself.
We'll see you next week. Take care, Richard. Keep on keeping on.
Look forward to it.
Two kids by 21, you're probably